Good evening, guys. How are you doing? Good, good. I'm curious. Any of the men out here have attended the very first men's conference? I would like to know. Well, gentlemen, thank you. You have been the Hebrew word zaken for the last 40 years in leading, and I hope you are blessed by the fruit of what you have seen just in the support and being a part of this ministry from the very beginning. Thank you. And if this is your first time, I'd love to see your hands. How awesome is that? Like, how amazing, how blessed and amazing that is. And let me just say, from somebody who has been observing from afar, somebody who is just from another diocese, just in awe of the men within this diocese and the way that you all do this annually, supporting, praying, walking with each other through this. This is amazing. And I would say, and I think, this is the largest men's group in the country for ACNA. And I want to thank you all. You're leading by example. So, completely. And because when I go back home and I tell people what we've been doing over the last 24 hours, and I tell them the amazing men in which I've met over the last 24 hours, they're not going to believe me. So I'm going to take a photo just so I can document this, because this is truly incredible, and I can't even get you all in the photo. So stay still, no moving, and I'm going to do a panoramic, and then hopefully something will come out of that. All right, so, yeah, shirts are on. Yeah, feel free to keep shirts. All right, so here we go. Remember, stay still. Thank you, guys. Truly is amazing. Okay, so we have talked a lot in the last 24 hours, and it has been such an encouragement. And not to go back from the very beginning, but I do want to kind of just highlight where we've been briefly so that you are fully up to date with where we are. It's been an incredible journey, I think, for all of us in the last 24 hours. Friday night, I told you about a football game that happened, and we cheered. We cheered, and then we oohed and awed over pity for me and the fact that we lost. We celebrated a win, and then we also lost, and the fact that that was ripped away from us. And we talked about, or I talked about, the fact that I, and maybe many of us, have felt invisible over the course of time. Whether you feel invisible right now, or whether that might have been a point in time in your life. But feeling invisible is an aspect to a situation in which we find ourselves as in a culture. And so we certainly talked about that. And we've talked about all of us being made in the image of God. And we've talked about how the masculine journey lays into the aspect of us being made in the image of God. And we've looked at six Hebrew words. Maybe you've never have looked at the Hebrew text before, but this morning we talked about three important Hebrew words that all pertain to being a man. Adam, the foundational image. Zakar, the genitive image. Gabor, the warrior image. We fight battles, we protect, we conquer. We are sexual beings, we are made of dust and divine. And we are noble and we are also savages. And then later on that morning, we talked about Enosh and how we are broken individuals. And we have the wounds to show it. And we have the scars to share with one another. Whether that is externally, but also internally. We talked about Ish, the restored image, the lessons, the wisdom that you have learned from the scars that you've experienced over the course of time. You've emerged from the wandering as a mature man who knows who you are. And then that final stage, the Zaken, the complete image, the gray hair men, the wisdom in which you all offer. The greatest contribution is still ahead. And those three words are all about transformation of the image of being made in the image of God. And tonight we need to talk about something that is essential to these six phases. Because here's the truth. You can know all six words theologically. And you can know all of the words intellectually, and you can understand that there is a masculine journey for each and every one of us, and you can see where you're going and where you've been. But here's the thing, if you don't know how to surrender, you'll stay stuck where you are. Let me take you back to November 26th. 1994. The locker room. I didn't express and I didn't talk to you about what happened in the locker room after the loss. Of course, you can imagine there was a lot of emotion that was going on in the room, and players were crying, coaches were crying. And I can remember sitting on the bench in the locker room. And I can remember internally making a promise to myself. I will never let myself be that vulnerable again. Have you said that to yourself before? In a moment of loss, when you experience something catastrophic, you say to yourself, I will never allow myself to be that hurt or vulnerable. I will never celebrate too early in fear of the loss. I can remember also thinking that I will never let my guard down. And I will control everything I can. And I will never hurt like this. Granted, I'm 18. This is a stupid football game on the grand scheme of life. But nevertheless, in one singular moment, experiencing that much intensity of pain and of a loss, we go into the narrative of saying, I will protect self. I will protect me so that it never happens again. Have you done that? Have you experienced that? Have you said that? And you know what? It worked. It worked for a while, at least. I became the guy who tried to pretend that he had it all together. I tried to be the responsible one. I tried to be the achiever. I tried to be the one who didn't need anybody. And then I got married, and I went to seminary, became a priest, planted a church, built something I was proud of. And you know what? I was still lonely. Because the wall I built to protect myself from the loss became the prison that kept me from connecting I was at some level successful, but I was also invisible. People saw the role I played, but they didn't see me. And the terrifying question from the Friday night came back to me. Does even God see me? And it took me 30 years to realize this. The lessons from the football game wasn't don't be vulnerable, but it was you can't control the outcome. And until I was willing to surrender the illusion of control, surrender the walls that had been placed around my heart, surrender my false self, I would never find the freedom in which I was yearning for or looking for. Gentlemen, tonight we're going to be talking about surrender. Not defeat, but freedom. You see, the word surrender comes, it's an old French word. Sur, meaning over, rende, meaning to give back. It's a military term, actually. To give back over to. And in the context of masculine journey, surrender means this for us. To give back over the control of your life from your false self to your true self in God. That's what it means. So let me just kind of explain to you how this works. If you have your booklets, there is a page in there towards the back. It has the triangle in that. It looks like, and it's titled, "This Life is Wounded." Yep. And it's on either side of me. And I'm going to be referencing this because we need a visual image to kind of help walk you through this. So at the center, if you will notice, in the, not the true center, but go one triangle outside, you'll see the real self instinctual needs. And at the center of who we are, the real self, the self-made in the image of God, this is the Adam foundation we are talking about this morning. You're made for relationships. You're made to inherit dignity. You're moral. You're a noble savage. This is all part of the Adam. You're in relationships, but you're not self-sufficient. You have inherent dignity, but not performance-based. You are moral, but you're not in control, and you are a noble savage, but you are also capable of glory and evil. And this is your true identity. This is who God has made you to be. And built into the image that there are three core instinctual needs. And this all is happening kind of neurologically inside, and you'll notice that. Do you see those three? You'll see the power and control. You'll see the survival and security, the affection and esteem. These are all three very important instinctual needs. So let's look at the power and control. I'll do that. You want to know you have, for the power and control, you want to know that you have some adequacy in your life. You want to know that you matter. You matter. And you want agency. So power and control, this is connects to Adam. Your foundational identity, your dignity, your sense of I exist and I have value. And then we look at affection and esteem, the second instinctual need. And what this means is that you want to be loved. You want to feel good about yourself. You want connection with others. And this connects with the zakar of what we were talking about. Your generative capacity, your ability to create connection, your desire to be wanted. And that third instinctual need, you want to be safe. You want to know you're going to make it. You want stability. In fact, that's all of us are looking for. We are looking for stability. We are looking for connections. We are looking for value and so forth. But the survival and security is connected to our gabor, the warrior. This connects gabor. It's the warrior strength, the ability to protect yourself and others, your capacity to fight off threats. These needs are not sinful. They are part of bearing God's image. God designed you with these three instinctual needs. They're basic. He has power and control. Adam reflects this. Desires and relationships and love. Zakar reflects this. He is secure and provides security. Gabor reflects this. But here is the problem, my friends. Life, as we know it, is wounded. We are wounded. We are broken. We are hurt. You've heard this many, many times in different sermons and all sorts of things. But that's the truth of the matter, is that we are broken and finite and fallen. So in theology, we call it sin, separation from God's glory. In philosophy, we call it alienation, being separated from our true essence. In psychology, we call it pathological narcissism, being thrown totally upon yourself. But the point is that life in which we live is wounded. And when life wounds you, it wounds you in these three core essential needs. When you're wounded, it falls into one of these three categories. So when you're wounded with power and control, the result of that and what you experience is humiliation. I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I don't matter. This is the Adam wound. Your dignity is attacked. Your sense of self is crushed. When I was in eighth grade, I was taking an elective. And my counselor put me in a class, a theater class. And we show up one day and I'm in, and on our desks are these old playbills of Hamlet. And we're supposed to read Hamlet together. And each of us has a role, you know, the old English style of Hamlet, these and thous and all sorts of stuff like that. And the teacher assigns me to a very, very minor role in the play. But nevertheless, I had a few lines. And when it got to my point, I'm reading and I am botching it. These, thous. I couldn't even get it out. It was so bad that the teacher thought I was doing it intentionally. And it was so bad that the class was actually laughing at me. And so I got sent to the principal office for something I didn't know I was doing. I felt humiliated. I was trying my best. And the teacher thought it was a joke. My dignity, my sense of self was crushed. Wounded in power and control leads to humiliation. Wounded in affection and esteem leads to rejection. So when you put yourself out there and it is not reciprocated with someone who you are trying to deem any form of esteem or receive any form of affection, the result of that rejection, it is rejection. You feel rejected. You feel like I am not wanted. You feel like I am not loved. You feel like no one is there for me because I just got rejected. I put myself out there and I get crushed. This is the Zakar. This is the Zakar wound. Your capacity for connection is damaged. You're rejected. And when we look at the wound of the survival insecurity, the result of it is abandonment. When you feel that wound within the survival insecurity, the abandonment comes into play. And you begin to think to yourself, like, I'm alone, or I'm unsafe, or no one will protect me. And this is the Gabor wound. Your warrior strength feels inadequate. Your security is threatened. And then when you add all of these three things up together, when you add humiliation and rejection and abandonment, what you experience is shame. Your shame. And so what happens is, it begins to, we talked about, when there's deprivation, there's always compensation, right? So if there's deprivation in the basic and structural needs, your shame core compensates by creating another self. Not made in the image of God, but made in something that you are trying to protect. The false self. But the self is made in not God's image, but your image, designed to protect you, to prove to you, to medicate you. And so the false self, or the addicted self, or the small self, it manifests in different ways, three different ways. So stick with me. With humiliation, up here on the triangle, with humiliation, the Adam wound, that then, when you're trying to compensate from humiliation, you then turn into pride and exploitation. I'll prove I'm somebody. I'll control every situation around me. I will never be humiliated again. This is your protective self kicking into gear. The false self. Again, when there's deprivation, there's always compensation, which means you begin to live into perfectionism. I have to get it right. Or you live into control. I have to be a manager of everything. Or pride. I'm better than others. Or exploitation. I'll use people to get what I need. This is the result of the hurt in which you've experienced. So when you experience hurt, the rejection, the result of the rejection, the deprivation, compensation to that is pleasure, addiction, and codependency. I'll make myself feel good. I'll find connections however I can. And so what this means is that you become a pleaser seeker. I just want to feel good. It means you start looking for sexual addictions. I'll use sex to medicate, or substance addictions. I'll numb the pain, or codependency. I'll attach to anyone who makes me feel wanted. Abandonment. If you feel abandonment, the deprivation leading to compensation goes to materialism and self-absorption. It's all for me. I'll take care of myself because there's no one else will. And this becomes self-absorption. It's all about me. Materialism. I have to have enough stuff. Isolation. I don't need anybody. Hoarding. I can't let go of anything. This is what happens when the deprivation leads to compensation in these three instinctual needs. And if you don't deal with the false self, it becomes the destructive self. Pride, exploitation, pleasure, addiction, leading to seduction, material and self-absorption leading to destruction. This is all what we experience consciously and subconsciously as we're trying to protect ourselves. So how do you surrender? How do you let go? The first thing you need to do is be aware. You can't surrender what you cannot see. The question is, which false self pattern am I stuck in? Pride, perfection, pleasure, addiction, self-absorption, materialism, whatever that is. Until you become aware that your way isn't working and that you're stuck and that you're exhausted, that you're living from fear instead of love, you won't surrender. So awareness, the second thing is choice. And choice means that you must surrender, which requires a decision. What feels like death is actually the doorway to life. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So awareness, choice, silence, and listening. And these are the things to help you get to the point of surrendering. You can't hear God's voice if the noise in your head is too loud. Let me see if I can give you a little example of this. I'm working on the fly right now. Okay. Here is. God's trying to give you instructions on how to live and how to work your life out and how things are to live into the image of God. And then all of a sudden, the noise of the world starts coming in. And then all of a sudden, it's really hard to hear God's voice. Because all you hear is the noise of the world. And then you can't hear God's voice. Because God's voice is holy. It's righteous. And he cares about you. And he's wanting your undivided attention. But if all you hear is the voice of the world, you can't even hear what he's instructing you to do. Do you hear? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Can you hear me? It's hard to hear the voice of God when all of a sudden the world is just kind of clattering around, chattering. And you have no idea that God is saying, I love you. You are my son. I died for you. Listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Tune out the world because the world has nothing to offer. No promise. Listen to me. I sent my son for you to die. I am asking you to surrender. Surrender your will, your lives, everything. Surrender under the authority of Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? The world is trying to get your attention and to distract you. And God's voice is speaking directly to you. And if you're not hearing God's voice and you're listening to the voice of the world, it is so hard to surrender over. Silence and listen. Gratitude. Be thankful for what he is doing in your life. Your attitude. You are free from the choices. Follow him. And it takes action as well. It takes strength and weakness to be able to surrender what God is asking you to surrender. Man, let me be honest with you. You've spent most of your lives trying to control the situations in which you find yourself. Is that not true? And the reason why we do is because we get very uncomfortable when we're not in control. You have to admit that you don't have it all together. You have to admit you're not strong enough. You have to admit that you can't win every battle. all you are called to do is surrender. Surrender the false self. Surrender the fortresses, the walls that have been placed around your hearts. Surrender the illusion that you are in control. And when I did, I finally let go and I discovered something I'd been searching for my whole life. Him. I've been seen, not because of what I've accomplished, but because the role that he played in my life. Because I'm made in the image of God. And he's been there all along, just whispering. And the reason why God whispers is because he's so holy. If we were to actually hear his voice, we would just fall over and die. Here's what I'm asking you to do tonight is surrender. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another translation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's what we're being asked to do. So, I'm going to bring our time to a close. But I'm going to ask that you say in your heart, if you feel led to say, I give it all back over to you, Lord. God, I give you this back over to you. I can't carry it anymore. I surrender. And then watch and see how the peace and the love and the presence and his strength comes over you. And how the false self gets washed away and the true self comes forth. Receive it. Surrender. Return to the image you were made to bear. In a few minutes, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. Hear me on this. Some of you are going to need to confess something. Some of you are going to need to weep. Some of you are going to need hands laid on you while somebody prays over you. Some of you are just going to need to sit in silence and be in the Lord's presence and hear him say, I love you. No condemnation. No shame, but freedom to restore to the image. That you're not broken, and God has a plan for you, and there is a journey that you are being invited to be a part of. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight as men who are tired of performing, exhausted from controlling, wounded and stuck, longing to return to the image you created us to bear. And Lord, we surrender and we give back over to you our false selves built on pride and pleasure and self-absorption, our wounds of humiliation and rejection and abandonment, our need to prove ourselves. And we receive you, your love that fills every void, your peace that surpasses control, your presence that banishes isolation, our true self in your image. Restore your image in us. Do what only you can do. Set us free. And all of God's men said, amen. Amen.